This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Glad to have you here. We're at the 2025 ASTA conference. A lot of great training. We're sitting here in our podcast studio on the convention hall. A lot of great stuff going on. I just want to tell everybody what's going on here. We're in our third day, and everybody's, you're going to find out from one of my guests that he sounds like he hasn't slept in 3 or 4 days. But anyway, it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about the mobile business here today and what's going on with that and a million other things. But first, thank you so much to our sponsors.
Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com. Hey, stay ahead of the curve with Napa Auto Care's newest auto tech initiatives, fast track assessments, accelerator immersive training, and tech assist smart support. The future of technician training is here. Connect with your local Napa representative for more information.
Welcome back. Wow. Keith Perkins. How are you, Keith?
Good morning.
L1 Diag, L1 Training. What else?
Level 1 Automotive.
Level 1 Automotive, yeah. That's your own brick and mortar.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn. How long has it been? Like 3 years?
Yeah, 2020. In the form it's in now with like a service advisor and a forward-facing business, like almost 3 years now. Almost.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Rich Falco's with me. Diag On Demand.
Yep.
The boys are running it for you.
Yeah.
While you're doing the curriculum development for CarQuest Technical Institute.
Yep.
Damn you.
I got slave labor. It's great.
Do the boys just send you the check?
Yeah. I'm just phone support at this point.
And the guys are in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
CTI is here in Raleigh. And so is the wife here in Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
You have a complicated life, sir.
Yeah, I'm bouncing all over the place. Back and forth.
You should get ready to go on a cruise and just settle down for a
little bit. I think I am already.
Both of you, Carm Cruise, too. Oh, yeah. We're just thrilled to have you on that. Look, Keith, he comes in and he goes, 36 hours of training.
Talking.
And not all here.
No.
You've been out. I think the world needs to get an idea of what some of the top trainers in our industry do. And you haven't been home in how long?
I was home for 10 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did a CarMax event. I was supposed to fly out the following morning to the Christian Brothers event. And flight stuff was all trashed. Everything for American. Telecom was down in Dallas. So I had to drive. So I drove 8.5 down to Houston.
Jeez.
Did the event there, taught three sessions. Drove back, had to make a pit stop in Dallas for the wife, had to exchange some shoes. Long story. Get back home late Tuesday. Get back late Tuesday. Take clothes out of all my luggage, throw it in the washer dryer that's in the closet. Got a washer dryer combo for efficiency because I don't have to run up and down stairs. Pull them back out the following morning at 3 a.m. Throw them back in the same luggage, jump on a plane, come here.
Too much information. Wait a minute. We could do a TV show, one of these reality shows.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to keep up with us.
Yeah.
No, honest to God, really.
They have to run 2 or 3 camera people to take shifts.
Yes.
By the way, guys, where's all of our young trainers going to be coming from in our industry?
That's a good question.
That feels really terrible because I thought I was a young trainer.
I'm sorry, but you are.
You are.
Yeah.
But you are. True. And in fact, you're one of the ones who probably needs to get out there and start assessing and evaluating and recruiting too.
Yeah. I've got one of my guys who is interested in doing in-person training events.
Okay.
So, Jeff, we're calling you out here. He's already told me he's taken all the steps. Really, I'm calling out Rich because
I told him
we have to do a boot camp because I've said it a couple times. We've got to do a CTI boot camp again.
Yep.
Run Jeff through it. And then Jeff wants to do the local regions for training.
The boot camps are important. I've actually had some side discussions here about this whole concept. And I don't mind repeating it just for a tiny moment here. Yeah. I think it may be worthy for our audience to hear this. There's a lot of people that want to train, that feel inside of them they have it, but they just don't have the chops as to how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. There was this thought, and the thought was, and it came from Matt and a couple of other, who was here, Trace? Matt and Bob Leonard. The idea was this: take some of the scholarship monies that are out there that aren't necessarily being utilized to a point and there's not enough people applying, carve out 4 to 5 scholarships for Train the Trainer. Hire some of our top retired trainers to come in and do that 5-day week-long boot camp to transfer the charisma, the quality, the knowledge transfer, the pay attention to the audience,
the
walk-on, the preparation, the shake the hand when they're walking in, all that stuff that brings the training experience together. And you take that scholarship money, you pay the trainers that are going to train. And the maybe we cover the plane ride for these up and coming. I mean, submit to me an application and you want to go to the Train the Trainer boot camp independently, not necessarily a brand like yours. What do you think? Is that crazy sounding?
Not at all.
It's not bad. Separate of CTI.
Yeah. I mean, CTI has done boot camps for 20 years.
But it's been a while.
Instructors. It's been a while. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I have more than once, you know, I bounce around classes at Vision or here or whatever it may be. And I walk out and I'm not frustrated with the technical content. It's how it's being presented.
That's what I keep hearing.
Even just basic PC skills. You have an instructor up there that's spending 15 minutes to figure out how to put a window screen up on the projector. And it's like, alt tab, dude, just hit alt tab, you know, so, you know, and you lose the audience if you spend in 10 minutes just fumbling with your laptop up there. So
yeah,
if you're seamless in how you can share your stuff, it really does help. And again, yeah, I mean, having a John Thornton or any of the, you know,
well, we were thinking like John and Scott, Mann and John Thornton, get him out of retirement a couple of weeks a year, pay him really well.
Yep.
Okay. Really well to do this because they're deserving of it.
Fly the wife's out. Make sure it's a family thing.
Okay.
I don't go anywhere without my wife.
I know, Liz. God. And Liz taught something here, didn't she?
No.
Okay.
Well, she might have presented with the class next door to mine. I don't know. She was heavily involved. She's like me. She talks a lot. Maybe she's not teaching, but she's teaching. So, I know that only because after her class, there were 4 other shop owners questioning her about what she said.
That's good, though.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And not in the bad way. They will. How are you making that work? Yeah. How does that work? We can't get jobs scheduled. We just pull 4 cars in a day and hope we can touch something. How are you guaranteeing people days that you touch cars and have 40 cars in the lot and constant phone calls?
It's always great. The students come up to you guys at the end and to actually verify that they were in the right class and you got through to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it's awesome.
If I don't have questions afterwards, I failed something. That's right. What I feel like. Yeah. It hasn't happened yet, but I would feel like if I got done and everybody was just like, thanks, great class, and left, I would reassess everything that happened in that class.
Did you do ADAS here?
Did not.
Okay.
Yeah,
what did you do here?
Now you got to go through everything in the past week.
Yeah. So I did keys and immobilizer yesterday morning. I did our push to start class, our CTI class, both CTI classes. One of them I wrote, one of them Peter put together, and it was a really cool class. I really like it. It's different because I would have taken that class to a totally different direction. But the way he took it was like, oh, this is what everybody needs. When you press that button, what happens to make the starter turn?
Yeah. Yep.
You don't have an ego. I mean, it doesn't seem like you got to present your own material.
No. I enjoy it more because I'm more familiar. It gives me less anxiety.
Exactly.
If someone's going to ask a question, and I go, I wasn't there at that car. I don't know.
Ah.
You know, so this is part of what we do in the boot camp, talking about owning the material, how to have that confidence. People wouldn't know that I didn't do that car.
Is all the training built on case studies?
Not all of it.
Okay.
Not all of it.
It's a lot of theory.
Yeah. It's good to have a case study to back up the theory that we're presenting. I'm not a big fan of case study classes where it's just an endless, here's how I fix this car. Here's how it becomes, look how smart I am. Give them the theory. And if you've got a case study that backs that up of how we diagnosed using that knowledge.
But here's one of the problems. Oh, the scope says this, and you could show all these different screenshots of what you could see or should see, right? Mm-hmm. The word training is part of my language shift. And I gave my keynote yesterday on the rise of the specialist. I got so much positive feedback. I got to tell a really cool story. Can I tell it?
Yeah, sure. Please.
Okay, it's your show, Carp. I'm going to speak to the Illinois Automotive Instructor Association in a few weeks in Peoria. There's going to be about 150 in attendance. And the guy who actually said, Carm, we need you to come out. We want you to come out. He was in the audience yesterday. And he's already gotten my declaration on the rise of the specialist. And he says, we're already changing the curriculums in our school to specialists.
Oh, that's nice.
That we're going to be training automotive specialists,
yeah,
not mechanics, which is ultimately, from the consumer's perspective, all we really are is mechanics. And all the positivity that came back and all the ideas, I have another idea of a language shift for you. And I talked about the word training. And I don't want to bemoan what you guys do, but in my mind, you're not trainers. You are educators, okay? And the word training, and we use it, again, one of those casual always things. Someone came up to me. They wanted to help in this language shift. And they said, Carm, let's stop and think for a moment. We train athletes to do this repetitive thing, to make them so good at what they do, to see and understand the moment they're in. And that muscle memory has to click in. And that's training, lifting the weights and doing all these things. And he says, and even to make it sound worse, Carm, we train dogs. And I go, oh my God, you're right.
Do the trick again.
Yeah. Over and over. Here.
Here's your treat.
Yeah, here's a treat. And think about that. Did you have treats in your class yesterday?
No, you did not. I got to think about treats. It. I was like, wait a minute.
That might work better.
I'm missing something.
Yeah. Okay. But this continuing education, I see the words continuing education come up so much, but we say the continuing education is training. Duh. You're educators.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be educated because so much of the stuff that you talk about, the person may not see for another 4 years. It wasn't a repetitive thing that you're teaching. You're teaching theory. When we go to college, we don't go to college to say, I'm going to get trained. We say, I'm going to get educated. And you're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But we have lazed out ourselves into the word training. What's your thoughts on this?
I like that.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah. Now I'm thinking I need treats in my class.
No.
I'm going the wrong way.
No. It should be CEI.
Yeah.
Not CTI.
Oh, yeah.
Education Institute.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, I like that.
All right. Do you see all the heads shaking over here?
I had a weird realization like a couple of years ago like that. Because somebody was like, so what do you do? I was like, oh, well, I had this mobile company where we blah, 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 all those things. But at the time, I had just gotten to the point where I was probably doing training as much as I was doing that. And somebody goes, aren't you a teacher?
Oh, my God.
I see you online all the time going places and teaching. I was like, and then it hit me. I was like, holy crap, I'm a teacher. I was like, I got to go back to my school and go tell my teachers that said I would never be anything like that. Not only am I a teacher, I'm teaching everybody things that are difficult now.
Yeah, at a high level.
Yeah, at a high level.
And so I better write that down. We just can't say that training is education. Perfect. But we have to say that the trainer is now the educator or the teacher. Educator's like, I'll take both.
I like educator.
Yeah.
Sounds way cool.
I love educator. And it takes the sophistication of what's necessary in our industry to another level. Anyway, I'm throwing that out there. The audience needs to hear this because we are, I on stage yesterday as I gave this keynote, I said, it's my ministry. And it was the first time I ever said that.
Yeah.
And I says, I'm becoming an evangelist for the specialists. So anyway, guys, mobile business. Years ago, it was like, oh, it's a fad. Guy doesn't want to open a shop. So he threw some shit in the back of his van or SUV and he went out. And man, it is a viable industry today, isn't it?
Very. Yeah.
And there are people getting out because people want to get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right? God help it. You've got the boys running your mobile business for you.
Yep.
And you probably have no reason to get out, but there's a lot of gray-haired guys that have been doing this for, say, 5 to 8 years. They stopped standing on the concrete floor under a car and they decided to do this. Trainers and mobile guys. Eric Ziegler is a great example of a guy who just recently sold his mobile diag business.
Yeah.
And so it's going to become a consolidated portion of our industry.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I got a load full from Tanner who picked us up at the airport and came here. And it was so interesting to hear Tanner talk about what's going on that consolidation side. What do you think of it?
I field those phone calls and requests and do those meetings every couple months. I'll entertain any offer. At the very least, the last time I took the offer in my bank, just said, someone's willing to give me this much for it. Would you loan me 30% of this so I can grow? And they said, yeah.
See, so that is a great.
I got a free, non-biased business evaluation.
Holy crappers. Would you loan me 30%? Wow. I mean, that's beautiful. A great business plan, good financial statements.
Yeah. They said, we'll loan you 80%. I said 30. Wow. That's all I need.
That was smart. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't take all the cookies out of the cookie jar.
Yeah.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRAX.com. The automotive world is changing fast, and customers are expecting speed, accuracy, and confidence in every repair. To keep your shop competitive, your technicians need training that's smarter, faster, and future-focused. That's why NAPA Auto Care is excited to introduce three new auto tech initiatives: Fast Track Assessments, the Accelerator Training Program, and Tech Assist. It all starts with Fast Track Assessments. This tool pinpoints a technician's exact skill level, whether they're a student, job applicant, or a new hire, so you know their strengths and where they need improvement without putting a customer's vehicle at risk. Then comes Accelerator Training Program. Using immersive technologies like virtual reality, augmented reality, and AI-driven simulations, it compresses years of technician development into just months. Trainees practice real-world jobs, alignments, brakes, diagnostics, in a safe, virtual-first environment with instant feedback. Instead of tying up your senior techs, they can focus on customers, while new hires become billable, competent team members in record time. And once they're on the job, Tech Assist keeps that support going. Through AR-capable smart safety glasses, your technicians can instantly pull up torque specs, wire colors, component locations, and even connect with a live expert who sees exactly what they see, providing guidance step by step. System integration with information platforms and DVI streamline workflow and boost efficiency. This assess, accelerate, assist approach helps your shops deliver better quality repairs, faster training, and long-term success. The full solution launches March 2026, but beta registration is now open. Want your shop to lead the future of automotive training? Connect with your local NAPA representative today.
So I've been seeing the writing on the wall of, and this is where, like, Rich is going to be like, oh, I didn't know you're going to say that. But so for years, I've noticed that the consolidation happens. And what's going on is a lot of these larger companies are making deals directly. It's mostly collision centers. So if your mobile business is predicated on just collision work, it's very volatile, right?
Rich? Oh, I mean, learning that firsthand.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I diversified. And that's why I said, okay, I'm going to open a brick and mortar shop. I'm seeing that diagnostics looks like something you could never mass produce. They're taking all ADOS work because they can get the lights and codes out, whether they bend the bracket, move the target, whatever. You can't fake your way through a diag because you just don't fix the car if you don't actually diagnose it. So I said, all right, I got to find a way to capitalize on the diag part and grow that. So what I'll do is I'll start a brick and mortar. I'll continue to service all of my clients mobily that I can. I will push them to send me the diagnostic jobs by sending the customer to me. Take the load off your shop. Don't deal with it. Send the customer to me. Build my own customer base. Last year was the first year it happened, but our automotive repair shop did more than our mobile business. So it's growing more and more every year.
I was going to ask you that.
So mobile for us isn't ever going to go away. We're always going to drive around a program, but there's always going to be a remote company that will do it cheaper, a new tool that will allow someone else to remote in and take all the gravy work. So we're going to continue to provide the solutions that no one else can offer And that's the thing that we use now, is that I can do every single thing, period, which is not the financial viable thing. So these big companies are never going to look at me and go, we want that model. We want the lowest ROI possible model where you buy all of the crazy tools and do the jobs nobody else can do. Because of that, I don't have two boats, but I do have a team of technicians that would do anything to take care of the business, that serve people like nobody else possibly could. And we're going to be there forever.
I didn't know boats was a determination of success.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's big block Chevrolets.
Oh, my God. How many of them do you have?
Only one. But I'm really excited about it.
What's a big block Chevrolet?
Yeah, I got my 15th car last week. So I got a 99 Suburban with a big block. Yeah.
You have the big garage for them?
No, it's not flashy. I like eclectic stuff.
Okay.
Hybrid Escapes, Chrysler Crossfires.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Are you ever going to go brick and mortar one day, Rich?
I don't think my guys would ever do it. And I had brick and mortar for 15 years up in Jersey. I can look back and say I regret selling it, but at the same time, I was burnt out when I sold it. And yeah. I don't know if I would still be married if I still had it. So, you know, so I'm here where I'm at and we'll play it by ear. And like Keith said, you know, there's a lot of companies, a lot of competition out there. So anybody can do a calibration and not anybody can fix a car. So you have to be able to say to that shop, well, yeah, we can do the calibrations. And when it goes wrong, we can also diagnose that problem.
Yep.
So
are you doing calibrations on the road?
Mobile. Yeah,
you
yep.
are.
Yep.
What's
yep.
the equipment you're using?
A little bit of everything.
Okay.
Autel, Topton, a lot of OE. I mean, whatever gets the job done accurately and correctly.
So you're setting up at the client's place?
Yep.
Gus, yes. You have the necessary room all the time?
If we don't, we won't do the calibration.
You won't do it.
We're very, very picky. OE says do it this way. We're going to do it that way. And we're going to try our best to do it as accurately as possible. And I've got pictures of other shops doing camera calibrations outside in the direct sunlight. And it's...
Okay.
Yeah, it's an issue.
You were doing them outside and then you brought them in, right? Didn't you?
We still do them. Well, not outside. We tried.
I don't mean outside. No, I meant at a client.
I've done radar cals outside. One of our shops had a old building they tore down. So the concrete pad was still outside in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, great. There's two cars parked over there. I moved those two cars. I got this giant, perfectly level concrete pad out of the way of everything. It's a radar job. Sunlight doesn't matter. We're good. But yeah, we still do the mobile today.
Okay.
My vans all still have ADOS in them.
Okay.
But if they're in the Tulsa area and it's a Subaru EyeSight, I say, no, thank you. It comes to my shop because I can do it one time and it's right because I've got all the lighting correct. The environment is exactly designed in a way that it's going to be successful almost every single time. I don't have to fight it.
So I hung out in Keith's class at Tools. I was there for 40 minutes and I couldn't leave. I was mesmerized by, I mean, you're a great trainer and you had some really good slides.
It was just my shoes.
And I don't know if I raised my hand and I said this in your class. I don't remember, but I said, where's the other 200,000 automotive specialists, technicians, mechanics, whatever you want to call us? Where are they? They should be in this room. They should be in this class.
They're in the Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
That's Liz and I's class, by the way, that class.
I have to tell you guys, it was such an interesting class that I've been bugging him. And one day, I mean, I know you're busy. I get it. But I've been bugging him to take some of his slides and create a countertop graphic to explain what calibrations are all about on a vehicle. When the client says, listen, a guy down the road will do this alignment and fix my front end for X. And we say we'll fix it for X plus the calibration. And they don't want it. And so we try in our slang vernacular at the front of our counters using every acronym in the world that people don't understand. Your car's got ADAS and all that stuff works. How about a picture that says, if you're 1 degree off, let me show you what it looks like 1,000 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
Right. And they were such powerful slides. We need like one page, four graphics in front that show the reason that we're doing this. And oh, by the way, your car manufacturer says this is a must. It's required.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can go down the road and have this, but please be careful. You might sense or feel the car not just really acting the same anymore. And none of this is BS. We're not trying to upsell anybody. We're trying to keep it safe. But I don't think we have the capabilities of explaining it thoroughly to the customer.
We did an in-person ADAS class at our research center a couple of months ago, and a shop owner in Philadelphia said, I have better luck selling ADAS calibrations to my mechanical customers than the body shop. And I went, I'm going to your shop. I want to see how you're presenting that, because I've never heard that from another shop.
Wow.
He said, we do alignments and we explain to them the requirements.
Oh, how about this? The insurance company's getting in the way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the insurance industry is a disastrous mess that should go away and be burned to the ground or rebuilt.
That's a pretty heavy comment.
Yeah. And
if,
I agree.
If you're a direct repair shop provider, you probably haven't fixed a car correctly under insurance.
You're
not being paid to do it correctly. I can promise you that.
Yes. It's the laws of the insurance company.
The insurance companies are deciding how the cars get fixed.
Yeah.
And how much they'll pay for it.
I can almost guarantee you, and hopefully somebody will, this will raise crazy amounts of contention about this statement. I can almost guarantee you that if you got your car fixed under insurance and you didn't pay anything but your deductible, it wasn't fixed correctly. No one's proved me wrong yet.
I said in my class yesterday that the shame of it is somebody really important or famous needs to get hurt or killed in an accident.
He's going to have to before it happens.
Yeah. Before anything has changed, somebody really important is going
to
get hurt.
To put the fear of doing it right.
Well, before a politician goes, wait a minute, we don't have a standardized training. These systems don't all work the same way. We're going with the cheapest bidder to calibrate a safety feature. You know, it's crazy.
Do you remember the Dodge Shifter recall?
I said that yesterday in class. I said an actor from Star Trek had to die before Dodge fixed
the guy who played Chekhov.
Right. Yeah.
I know that. What a shame, huh?
Yeah. Yep. That's the only reason why that recall happens, because there was enough of a stink of this. Everyone had been griping about it on every forum. Every forum out there, with every owner goes, this is dumb. I can get on my car. The car rolls. Sometimes I think I turn the radio down and I put the car in low. Yeah.
Really?
That's how that got fixed. Somebody famous died.
He got crushed against the wall.
Yep. I mean, he got out of the car to get his mail or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And his driveway was sloped. So he walked around in front and got the mail, and the car pinned him against the wall and he passed away.
Oh, unbelievable. And then I think of the words sublet. I think that is it changing? Do you hear that they're trying to get more control of the sublet? Because the collision shops would, you send them the bill and the insurance company paid it. But rumor has it that they're trying to take a little handle.
Oh, it's no rumor.
It's not
State Farm put out a price list and said, this is all we're going to pay
for a sublet
for this specific calibration. I don't remember the prices off the top of my head, but they're.
Why wouldn't the collision shops seriously invest in their own equipment?
Some of them do.
I know.
You know.
But some of them don't.
No.
Mm-hmm. The same guy who's really good at fixing the body and painting the car is not going to be good at diagnosing a NOCOM on a radar after the repair is done and then calibrating the radar. It's two skill sets.
And I also think some of the body shops think they're shifting the liability to somebody else.
Right.
You know, I'll have him do it. So if it doesn't work, it's not my problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love where we went. Thank you so much for this really refreshing dialogue. If someone came up to both of you at this event and they said, what would it take for me to start a mobile business?
Wait, how many times have you got it at this event? At least five or six for me.
Into the mic.
Sorry. Yeah. I've had three or four people while standing in the advance booth ask that question.
So what are you going to, a couple things you're going to say to them?
Honestly, the first thing I tell most of them is training. I said, you need to know what you're getting involved with. And I point them to, obviously, CTI, but also Keith. I tell them, I'm to this day still paying a subscription for Keith's, because he's got every manufacturer programming video out there. And, you know, when my guys call and go, we got a Nissan CVT tomorrow, and it's convoluted to go, and I'm like, go watch Keith's video and, you know, call me tomorrow and we'll walk through it. So, but training is step number one before anything else. If you're getting into mobile, and also do the research into, does your market support it? Who else is out there? I hate to say it, but I talk to all the mobile guys. There's a Russian in every town.
Named Alex.
Or a locksmith that's doing programming, and a lot of them are using hacked tools and taking shortcuts.
That's why you said Russian.
Oh, yeah. It's always a guy named Alex. And the shops will go, oh, we got this Russian guy that does that for us. And he's doing it for $75. And the subscription is $50. So it's like,
not anymore. And four went up to 120 for the short term.
Oh, yeah. So they really need to do their research to see if this is something that is supported, that they can make work in there. Before I decided to do this mobile thing, John Rogers, who's been doing this for, what, 20 years?
Yep.
He called me and he goes, you call me. We're going to have a conversation before you do this. And I don't think we finished that conversation. We started it. And yeah, you really need to know what you're getting into.
Yeah. You need to be really good.
There's been a couple of mobile techs that come mobile, like they're doing brake jobs and stuff in people's driveways. And he's like, I really want to get into programming. And I'm like, okay, you need to talk to Keith. You need to talk to Isaac to take some of the CTI programming classes to have an idea of the level of equipment you're about to get involved with. Because they think they can buy an Autel J-Box and go out there and program every make and model. And that's just not realistic.
You buy a J-Box and you can get, what, $10,000 of equipment and program 85% of everything you touch, which is the same as what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to be able to do that 92%.
Yeah,
to really say yes to all the jobs and not lose out.
Do you talk to them about, to me, one of the things that I would say to someone, confidentially, what are you making now?
Oh, I don't ask that question.
Think about that.
That's a
what are you point. Making now? Happy, secure, wife working. What are your responsibilities at home? Because you got to market your company. You just don't go out there and make the same amount of money you're making today, unless you're making so little now and you feel you're so talented and you could do a lot. And maybe you can double what you're making in a couple of years, but there's a wait time to get where you would love your business plan to go. It's a business. This isn't just a little hobby thing.
Yeah.
Because to what you both just said, a guesstimate on what's the investment in that vehicle that you're driving around.
He would probably know better than
me. I mean, six figures for sure.
It depends upon the cost of the vehicle, but.
No, forget the vehicle.
I've got inside the vehicle.
Yeah.
No, it's not quite six figures. Depends upon, again, what the mix of what you're doing is.
Okay.
A lot of it's the mix of what you're doing. So because
35 to 80?
72,600.
Okay.
That's our standard loadout.
Wow. Look at that.
I knew he had it. That's why I said ask him.
But I got to clarify. Someone's like, that's outrageous. We're doing it for 30. I'm like, yes. But can you do Mercedes keys? Yes. But can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So what I found that works in my market to give the mix of what I need to be uber competitive and do things no one else can do. 76,200. I've almost got all of it shifted to Isaac. So for those listening, just call Isaac and be like, I want a key float out. And and it'll be pretty dang close to having everything.
And if Isaac was here, we would be hearing from him.
Yeah.
I have a mobile mechanic in my area who we literally crossed paths at a shop. I was there programming. He was there doing something else. And he asked me, you know, oh, wow, you do programming. I thought about getting into it, but he did the research and realized it wasn't worth it. And he says, will you guys do it for me? And I said, I don't go to people's houses. So find a shop that you deal with. And we meet at that shop or a shop that I deal with. We meet there and we do the programming. And it's been great because he knows what he can do. He can do brake jobs and diagnostics. And he'll call me and go, hey, I got a car with a bad BCM. When can you do a GM BCM? And, you know, me or the boys meet him somewhere and get it done.
Are you surprised of the number of shops that haven't mentored or educated their people to know how to do this?
No.
You're not surprised.
No.
It's just
I buy their equipment at liquidation auctions.
Okay. Yeah. Because they refuse to do what they need to
training
really
an update.
Yeah.
I hate to get negative, but Keith and I see the same people at the same training events over and over and over.
Yeah, that's the broken record.
It's a problem.
Sick of their faces, honestly.
And you know, it's so nice to see somebody in your class you don't recognize.
Yeah.
I love you. Would you put on a different mask?
Yeah. But the majority of the shops aren't keeping up with this and don't. I have had shops in 2025 call me and say, we put a used module in a 17 Equinox and it doesn't work. What's this programming crap? Dude, we've been programming GMs since the early 90s. What do you mean? What is this? Oh, and by the way, you can't put a used module in a Global A car. Yeah. What's Global A? Oh, and my scan tool can't scan this 2020 Dodge. Well, you need auto auth. What's that?
Yeah.
It's like, how far behind can you possibly get and still have a viable business? It blows my mind.
Yeah, I got shops that update their one scan tool every other year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we won't say the name of that's the brand of that scan tool.
You said a really powerful word. You said viable. For some people, giving mama $300 a week to go buy groceries is viable. Some people want to make 20% on $1 million. and they have invested and done this, and they're the same people you see at classes. They're the ones that've got accountants for professionals. They're the ones who are paying really big bucks. And do you think there's going to be a shredding of the week ever someday? Or is there just so much business that the shop?
I'm seeing it happen. Last year, we had 97 shops closed and only 34 new ones in Tulsa.
I honestly kind of want to say good, because we've been saying it for as long as I've been in this industry. How are these shops going to keep up with the technology? And they keep figuring out a way to hack it up and get it done.
So hold on. So. I've been using the same year, 2030. If we look back at this conversation in 2030 and 5 years from now, it will be different, because the average age of a car inside of a shop being 7 to 11 years old. Today, we're seeing it right now. It's getting rougher and worse and worse and worse because all the bust stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said about 5 years ago, in 10 years. And then so for the last 3 years, I've been saying 2030 is the year that we can look at, then look back at what we said and go, yep, we were all right.
I got to put a reminder on my phone.
Yeah.
2030.
Yeah. Because then the average vehicle that will be in a bay will be over, like, it'll be a 2020. It'll be
2020-ish.
It'll be a 2019.
Yep. Our average age is about 12 right now. And it's been going up maybe, three or 4 or 5 months a year.
Yeah. But the $300 is viable shop doesn't work on 5-year-old vehicles. They work on 10-plus-year-old vehicles.
Right.
So when the 10-plus-year-old vehicle is the 2020, then they don't have the skill set to fix that car. When it's got variable compression ratio, variable valve timing, there's gateway modules
that requires
OEM seven networks behind each gateway, 2 9-channel gateways, does require an OEM tool. You can't put a window switch in it without programming. The water pump requires programming. The brake system requires calibration, and you can't change a tie rod in without doing an ADOS calibration.
So everyone's going to YouTube to fix the cars.
Yep.
Boy, you said that pretty quick.
I told everyone to go to YouTube yesterday when they were like, where's the key slot on this car? I said, you can find it in service info, but you can YouTube it faster. I don't mean YouTube's 99% trash of what's out there. And there's 1% of fantastic information, great people. Same thing with TikTok and all the other things, right?
But you got to find that 1%.
Yeah. And you got to be able to differentiate.
You need to know enough to say, okay, that's not good information.
Yeah.
So how is it that a friend of mine, a former tech, he's a hands-on, he's got every piece of equipment in barns that he's got on his property, right? He will never go to a professional for anything. It's just how he was built. But he also owned a shop for like a dozen years. He went out and he bought a $500 tool online to fix his wife's Lexus and his son's truck because he needed to have codes and do some things. And I was blown away by that. Is that going to continue, that kind of access and availability for people, DIYers, to fix their own vehicles?
Yeah, to a point. There's going to be a limit to it, but they're always going to be able to get something, you know, some Amazon special that'll give them some data or at least pull a code. But it's getting, like Keith's saying, it's getting to the point where if you don't have the special functions and bidirectional controls, you're going to be lost. But I think the backyard mechanic is going to be there, but there's just going to be limited to what he can do.
Yeah. I'd much prefer them understand their limits, though. That's the problem. They don't understand their limits a lot.
Yeah. They don't know what they don't know. And the next thing, you know, they take a bumper off and now every parking sensor is freaking out and they don't know why. And,
yep.
Yeah.
We had that one. Guy fixed his own Highlander. His wife bumped into something. He's like, I pulled it off. I painted the bumper. I put it back on. I just need the park sensors calibrated. And I said, I'm not going to do just the park sensors. You pulled the bumper. The front radar has to be done. That's what the OEM service information says. He's like, well, I only want this done. I was like, you're welcome to take it wherever you would like, but we are only going to do it this way.
Yeah.
He's like, every place I called says I have to bring it to you. I said, because we only do the job right and make sure it's repaired correctly the first time. And so, and it turned into a giant ordeal. He put an aftermarket park sensor in one side. It didn't work. It had water in a connector because he didn't fix the connector.
You know any shops that also have a mobile specialty business?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of them?
No. Kirk is the one I model my stuff after.
Oh, yeah?
Gladney. Yeah. Kirk Holland from Gladys.
Yeah.
He's low profile. You will never get him on a podcast. He won't do that.
I think Matt's trying, isn't he? I
don't know. Possibly. Matt tried today or yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk is the most humble human being. He runs an amazing facility that he takes care of his people. Like, I try to model all the cool things I do after what Kirk does.
Wow.
Jeez, I got to go to Kirk.
My role model.
So he's got brick and mortar and a mobile business.
Yep. And he started mobile and built a brick and mortar.
That's just like you. I mean,
no, me just like him.
Oh,
me just like him. Not him.
Me just like him. And in that kind of situation, there's no conflict with the shops in town wanting to use his mobile business to help them out?
No, he won't do Diag, though, on the road.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, which we're pushing. Anywhere I have a brick and mortar, I am pushing my mobile shops to push the Diag to me. We doubled the price of Diag on the road and kept it the same if they send the car to me.
That's smart.
And some of them still want me to Diag it there, and that's fine.
So what's next for you?
What day is
Rich?
It? I don't know. I leave for Kansas City tomorrow.
God, you guys, are you going to actually have a chance, Keith, to slow down for
a
few days?
I'm home all week and I don't have to teach again until Friday, and it's in Tulsa.
There you go.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so you're going to a CarMax thing?
Doing a CarMax thing on Monday. We have a huge amount of classes for CarMax for October.
That's what I'm doing Friday.
I slow down. Yeah, I think I'm in Vegas on Friday or no, LA.
What are the classes?
Diagnostics. Brakes, steering and suspension, scan tools.
Okay.
CarMax sees the need for training. They really do treat their techs well and train. They know they need it.
It's like, hello, industry. Hello.
Yeah.
And you're right. Keith, the same faces. That's what everybody tells me. I mean, you're getting to have friends from all over the country showing up. And I guess, oh, here's an idea. If there's a new face, raise your hand. First time training, first time in this class, you need to celebrate them.
I did that at the CBA event. I asked how many, it was the first MTD.
I always do it at Vision. I always, at Vision, I'm like, who's here for the first time?
Celebrate them.
And then I tell them, everybody applauds them. And I go, don't just go back to your hotel room. You go to the lobby. If you're sitting down and having lunch, you sit down with total strangers.
I want you to
network.
In fact, meeting and shaking hands with the people that are left or right, front to back of you as an individual, you could force them to learn and meet new friends that could benefit them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, absolutely. Wednesday night, Tanner's sitting there talking about a car that he figured something out on. And I went, I have one of those right now. I called the boys. I said, hey, you let Ed's know. We know what's wrong with his car. You know, and it's just that kind of networking and talking with people. Yep, that
I call the boys. It's just too cool.
Well, even shops do it now. Like, I'll show up and they're like, we were hoping to get the boys, but we got you.
that's really funny.
That's, you're still early on. I show up and they go, new guy, huh? And I go, yep.
I told them, I said to Zach when we first started, I said, I don't want these shops to know who I am. I said, you are the face of the business and I'm just backup.
All right.
So, yep.
Keith, where do you get your energy?
I have a passionate drive where I just can't. It's a mental disorder, you know, that I just can't stop pushing. But I don't know. I'm like Isaac. We manufacture caffeine in our body.
Yeah.
So
we just can't slow down. Even if I didn't have the mobile business, it was just CTI. It would be game on, whatever.
We've talked about this so many times. Yeah. That we just both would just, no matter what, we're just going to do something.
Yeah.
Speaking of caffeine.
Yeah.
Can you drink a cup of coffee and go to sleep?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You too?
I drink them in the hotel room to go to bed.
So, me too.
Yes.
I took a cup of coffee two nights ago to the bedroom. I went to Starbucks. I drank a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I love the taste of coffee.
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
Right now.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not the fix for me. In the morning, I drink a cup of coffee. I don't wake up. It's just, it's just there.
I do feel groggy without it only because I'm so used to it. I feel like it breaks my routine. But it's not the caffeine. It's just the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guys, this was enlightening. We went to a lot of fun places.
We've been all over the place.
And, yeah.
I feel like I was in a Fanslow podcast.
Welcome to what's like squirrels. Inside my brain.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To our listener, listen to learn just one thing. But if you got something and it's solid and you've written it down or recorded it somewhere, just implement it. Do something about it. That's what's going on here. I've been in front of trainers that said, look, you learn anything? Did you write anything down? Go back and teach it, right? Go back and share it.
I gotta go back and use it.
I tell every attendee, don't believe me until you've gone back to the shop and done it yourself, you know? Because then you apply it.
Rich Falco, Keith Perkins, thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.